Welcome to Betting 360, your number one source for horse racing and sports betting insights. Coming around the bend is your host, David Duffield, with another expert interview to give you the winning edge.
Hi, this is David Duffield, and welcome to another episode of the Betting 360 podcast. I've got Rick Williams on the line this week. I wanted to talk to him about the Moonee Valley track. It's quite a unique one, and there's some massive racing coming up there. So I'd like to talk to him about the best way of betting at Moonee Valley. G'day, Rick. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
That's good. Being the focus of the week, Moonee Valley, thought we'd have a chat about the track itself and just talk about if there's a slightly different way in how you approach analysing a race and formulating your ratings for Moonee Valley. Obviously, it's a unique track in a few different aspects, but do you do anything differently when you're betting there?
Look, the first thing I do is just go through the normal process, and that's highlighting and basically doing the market and working out who's the best horse, and from there, obviously, you can make some little adjustments or just mental notes, you know, regarding where the rail is. Generally, it's a pretty dry track at Moonee Valley. It doesn't normally get too wet, so you're generally working on a good to dead surface. Sometimes it's slow, but generally it's pretty well draining. But certainly the rail, wherever that is probably the thing that you have a look at.
And so that gets talked about a bit with when the rail's out, that it tends to favour on paces, and that's not the same for every race, because sometimes it can be an overreaction. But how do you change your assessments depending on the rail position?
Not enormously. I think, you know, if you've got a leader's track and you've marked the horse that's going to lead quite short and you really like it, then there's certainly reasons to be giving that a couple more ticks. But, you know, the other side, if you've got a slow horse and it's going to lead, doesn't necessarily mean because it's a leader's track it's going to win. So I guess good horses or standout horses in a race can generally, most of the times, you know, overcome moderate issues, whether it be moderate bias or moderate block in the run or, you know, different things. If it's a severe bias or, you know, if it has a severe check, then certainly a lot of horses would struggle to overcome something severe that happens. So it's just balancing out the ability of the horse, looking at, you know, where it will be in the run or whatnot, and what it has to overcome to win, and basically making a judgment call. Is the horse good enough to overcome this issue, or the fact that the horse, you've got it rated on top and it looks really strong and it's going to have all the favours in the run, it's, you know, how much more do you bonus this horse?
And speaking of positions in the run, with the new database, we can run a report and have a look at you know, the lengths behind the leader and I suppose the average margin for that at Moonee Valley, and also depending on where the rail is. So how do you incorporate that into the work that you do?
Yeah, look, it's just nice to know. So it's not really anything that there's a column for in the spreadsheet or anything like that, but, you know, it's just nice to run the report and you sort of get an idea of where the rail is and generally what happens. As the rail gets out further, there's generally not a lot of racing, so we're not dealing with huge samples, but certainly, you know, that there does tend to be patterns, and, you know, I guess as the rail gets out further at Moonee Valley, you know, generally the closer you need to be to the leaders upon settling.
So when the rail's true or close to it, if a horse is race wide, you know, how do you bonus or otherwise that horse, as opposed to, you know, when the rail's been out a fair way?
Look, you just sort of go through the runs and generally you look at the sectional. So even if they've ran wide, they'll either have ran wide quickly or ran wide slow. So there'll be a section in there of the sectionals where the horses ran a strong 400. It might be from the 800 to the 400 or the 600 to the 200, but somewhere in there it will, you know, either say, well, the horse was wide and it ran quick wide, or it ran slow. So generally you look for the ones that still ran quick somewhere, and they're the ones you tend to be more favourable towards, as opposed to the ones that were wide but just slow throughout anyway.
And if you're on a horse that's, you know, midfield or worse, when do you want the jockey to be making the run at Moonee Valley? How early?
Look, you really don't want to be that early. Sort of once you come up to the bend is sort of when you probably want to get a cart into the race. I don't think you really want to be exposed too early, because what happens is if you try to come with a run three wide around that bend, the bend goes forever, and by the time you get to the top of the straight, you've probably got three or four other horses that have shifted out to look for runs, and before you know it, you're six, seven, eight wide and really no hope. So, you know, really you want to be looking for a card into the race on the end of that bend. It obviously isn't always possible, but yeah, generally that, or, you know, horses that generally can sneak a run, not necessarily always on the fence, but when they do sort of go that wide, it does sort of tend to open up runs for horses that are even well back in the field. They just save an enormous amount of ground. So, you know, that happens a bit at Moonee Valley also.
Okay, we'll run through a couple of stats that I found in writing an article this week. The first thing was that the form tends to hold up pretty well, and again, you know, the shorter end of the market is the most profitable or the least unprofitable, whichever way you look at it. So is it any surprise to you that, you know, horses start favourite and second favourite perform the best?
Not really, especially with a bias. You know, if you can identify that it's a bit leaderish and you've got a really quick horse that's going to get on the speed, they're pretty good betting opportunities, and all of those horses are well found, so that's not surprising.
One thing that's a little bit different to a lot of the other tracks that we see was that the inside barriers actually performed better than, well, the middle barriers, you might say. So, you know, barriers 1 to 4 as a group, they actually perform very well, which it wouldn't surprise people that they win a lot of races, but it might surprise people that relative to the market, they're actually okay, whereas, you know, horses in the middle, I suppose, or the outside in a smaller field, so barriers like 5, 6, 7, 8, they actually underperform.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure exactly why that's like that, but, you know, just as we said before, with the way the track is, a lot of the times those horses can get those runs up the inside, you know, so, or they might jump well and lead. And as you said, a lot of people may look to sort of avoid those horses because you don't really want to be stuck on the turn behind the leader at Moonee Valley. But I guess depending on the different circumstances of the race, you know, that's sort of what we don't have in the stats. But, you know, how quick's the leader going to be? Where's it going to settle from barrier one, et cetera? So there's a few other things, but certainly, yeah, the fact that they're profitable means people may look a bit hard or a bit too much into that aspect of settling on the fence.
Horses higher up in the weights actually underperform. So is there anything you think about the Moonee Valley track that could point towards that, where, you know, horses that are forced to carry a bit of weight might be a bit disappointing as a group?
Look, I guess if you have to come around that big bend and you've got a lot of weight, it's certainly not going to help. Again, we don't know from the stats how many of those did come wide around the bend, but that could be an aspect that needs to certainly be considered. And just the other thing, I guess there's probably a fair bit of night racing in that. And, you know, I sort of see night racing generally on a Friday as a platform where you get your up-and-coming horses, you know, sort of like a midweek meeting. They sort of come from the city, come from the provincials, and they're generally not the best exposed horses on class, but have the most upside. So I think that, you know, that there's probably a lot of old war horses that have been running around for a while high up in the weights, and they may struggle to beat the up-and-comers.
And what about jockeys? We're not dealing with massive sample sizes here, but there's a few big names that stand out. When you're looking at a race and putting together the rated prices, do you care the jockey's record at that track, or is it just more about the, you know, the feel that you have for whether that jockey and his style suits that horse?
Yeah, look, I guess we just look at how good the jockey is. I guess looking at, say, Victoria, you know, you've got your Vic jockey, so you sort of have a bit of an understanding that they will probably ride there pretty well more often than not. You know, if you look at, say, over the weekend coming up, you know, you've got Nash Rawilla back from Japan, so he's got a ride around Moonee Valley. You've got Damian Brown down from Queensland, who's a really good jockey, but not as experienced at Moonee Valley. So you do take mental notes of those sorts of things. But, you know, at the same time, you also got to look at how good the horse is.
There's a few trainers there that, you know, have a reasonable record, but I'm not sure if you can glean too much on its own. What about experience at the track? So there really wasn't much of a difference in terms of, you know, what the market expected and what actually happened, in that if you'd never started there before, you're slightly above benchmark, but only 1%. And basically, if you had experience at the track, you're 1% below the benchmark. So really not a lot either way.
Yeah, there's not a lot either way. And I guess, you know, you do get some horses that really do love Moonee Valley. So I guess you could certainly, you know, make a case for them, which probably doesn't show up in the stats. But, you know, some horses just love it there. So there's probably a small little group within those two measurements that would stand out. But again, you sort of got to do the form to get them out. But, you know, if you've got a horse that's running well and gets the right run, and, you know, it's its first start at Moonee Valley, no reason they can't run well also, as the stats suggest.
The next one was interesting, but I'm not sure I'd bet anything based purely on that. In fact, I'm sure I wouldn't. But it was interesting whether this will end up regressing to the mean or actually stay the way it is. But I looked at where horses had their last start. So other metro tracks was, you know, just fine, whether it was Sandown, Moonee Valley, Caulfield. But coming off a Moonee Valley night meeting, for some reason, they perform well below what the market expected. Can you see any reason behind why that might be the case? So last start, Moonee Valley night run, and then next start, Moonee Valley either day or night?
No, so they had their last start at Moonee Valley night, and then their next run is at Moonee Valley in some sense.
Yep.
Yeah, look, I'm not really sure, unless they've sort of may have ran well and the market has overbet them because they've had that run at Moonee Valley. Or if it was at Moonee Valley night meeting, I'm just thinking out loud here, and the rail was out, maybe they didn't handle the tight turn and pulled up a bit sore. I'm not sure. I can't really give a strong answer on that one.
Yeah, I mean, probably just an anomalous result, but when I saw how big it was, and that's that, you know, all the other tracks were slightly above benchmark, and then at Moonee Valley night meeting, the last start was minus 10, so it was just a big differential. So anyway, if people want to investigate that further, they're more than welcome to. The last one was just looking at interstate runners. So we did this for a bigger group before, in that we looked at you know, all metro tracks. So this is just specific to Moonee Valley. But horses from north of the border, New South Wales and Queensland, performed better than the market expected. South Australia, just coming across South Australia, they're actually well below benchmark. So I don't know how you try and line them up when they're coming from interstate. Obviously, we've got ratings and rankings that should transfer from state to state, but how do you go about it when you've got an interstate runner?
Yeah, you sort of answered. I just run with, you know, the system we've created should have an equal measurement everywhere. I guess you just need to look at things like, you know, I guess if they're coming from north, well, maybe a lot of people would think that, you know, they've got to go the Melbourne way for the first time, you know, the Melbourne way. So they might be a little bit underbet, whereas I guess the Adelaide horses run the Melbourne way. And I know that a lot of horses that come over and are generally well back from some good stables, and there may be a patch in there where they've underperformed. But, it's interesting, but, you know, I guess you just sort of have to play it on its merits. Some Adelaide horses are good, some aren't, and some north of the border are good and some aren't, and it's just finding the opportunities.
Exactly right. All right, well, we'll leave it there for now. It's just meant as a bit of an insight into the valley, and it's a unique track, so hopefully that's given people a bit of an idea as to how they can approach betting there, considering tomorrow night's Manukau Stakes meeting and then Cox Plate Day Saturday.
Yep, it looks a good weekend coming up and plenty of racing, and hopefully we can get a couple of winners and enjoy the races and not lose any money.
That's the plan. All right, thanks, Rick. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Betting 360. Get more in-depth analysis, tips, and that betting edge by heading over to championpicks.com.au, where you'll find a full transcript of this episode. If you like the show, share us with a fellow punter or drop by iTunes to leave us your thoughts. Betting 360, punting from all angles.